Good morning, and here we are. Third part of the message today is titled, Death Ends All. Good morning. Pastor Heaton with you from the Bible Baptist Hour here each week. 9:45 for our Sunday school services, 11 o'clock for the morning service, 6 o'clock for the evening service, and our midweek is Thursday night at 7 o'clock. We have teen youth on Sunday morning, and then we have this younger group of young people on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. If you're looking for a place to go, give us a try. We may not be what you're looking for at all. We might be. As I've often told people, they say, well, so-and-so said, I said, well, it'd be advisable for you to look for yourself. Quit listening to what so-and-so said. So-and-so may have a prejudice of some sort. All right. Anyways, the message, death ends all. Third part. We will end the message, death ends all, today. We hope that it's been helped to you along the way. I'm sure we didn't cover everything we need to cover, but we covered enough. I hope that you got the point of the message. We'll have a song entitled Death Cannot Hold Us by a group called Set Apart. We hope that you'll enjoy the song. Right after the song's over, of course, as always, we'll be into the message. And then when the message is over, there'll be just a few seconds at the end of that message. I can't even tell you, but 35 seconds maybe something like that. And our announcer will give you an address where you can write to us, and we'd love to hear from you. We haven't heard from anybody in a little while. It's been a while since we've heard from anybody, so we hope that you'll take the time to be a part of those who let us know that they listen. Hard to believe how quickly time goes by. Years go by, time goes by, months go by, days go by, and next thing you know, we're old. And here we are. Some of you said, Preacher, don't remind me. I ache as it is. All right. I think I've said enough. And we hope that you will listen carefully and hope the message will be a blessing to you. And listen carefully as our announcer gives you the address at the end and copy it down, please. All right, here is the group Set Apart with a song called Death Cannot Hold Us. And then the final part of the message, Death Ends All. Be back.
Gathered on a hillside in a garden of stone to say goodbye to a loved one today. As they lowered them down in the cold dark round with the last few words to say. From the dust we were formed and to it we'll return. It's appointed to men once to die. But there's coming a day, Christ will come for his own, and from the ground the saints shall arise.
Death cannot hold us eternally in the ground, for we shall arise.
We shall
when the trumpet sounds, Jesus will step out and call us home.
Not the end. Jesus died that we might be free. God gave us his Son to pardon our sin, and with this hope we can say, someday we shall live in that land so fair, there nevermore to die. We shall praise the Lord for all he has done, and no tear shall ever dim the eye.
Death cannot hold us eternally in the ground, for we shall arise when the trumpet sounds. Jesus will step out and call us home to be with him.
Call us to be with him.
Oh, thank the Lord,
praise his
So you're not alone here. Sometimes, you know what we think? I'm the only person that hurts. I'm the only person going through this. I'm the only person this is happening to. That's not the truth. In this church, there are people suffering similar things. Not the same thing, but similar things. Why? It's just life. It's the sinful life that we've been given because of Adam and Eve's sin. And it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse. The hymn, we sing it quite often, "Great is thy faithfulness," is not the result of some tragic event, actually. But the fellow's name was Thomas Chisholmes. And he said that the powerful witness of walking daily with the Lord, morning by morning, new mercies I see. He said he always trusted his Father to take care of him and sustain him and provide him his daily needs. But just before his death in 1960, he said this: "My income has never been large at any time due to impaired health in earlier years, which had followed me until now. But I must not fail to record here the unfailing faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God, and that he hath given me many wonderful displays of his providing care, which have filled me with astounding gratefulness." In other words, he says, I've never been rich, and I've had health that's failed all these years, but I have to stop and realize that every morning God's mercies have been new to me. No matter how bad it gets, if you're alive the next day, you know what you've discovered? God was merciful. Thank God for his mercies. We're not going to turn it, but Revelation 21:4 tells us there will be no more pain, no more sickness in that life. But let's look at here in our text, Romans 5. And he says in verse 12, "Wherefore, when one man sinned in the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." I started out by saying that we never talk about death. For the most part, we don't. We don't like death. Why should we? Why should I like death? It robbed me of my dad when I was 18 years old. Why should I like death? It robbed me of my mother. Why should I like death? It took my grandmother. Why should I enjoy death when death's never done anything kind for me? Death has robbed me of some good friends I've had. Death stole them. Why should I like death? It's taken some of the greatest preachers that we've ever learned to enjoy. Why should we like death? We don't like death. There's no reason we should like death. And people who like death, there's something weird about them. Well, a lot of those young people now, they call them gothic? Is that what they call them? They paint black lipstick and black fingernails and sleep in coffins. No, I'm telling you. I'm just telling you. And they like songs about death, and they talk about death, and they try to kill themselves. They'll cut themselves and drink stuff. They try to kill themselves. Why? It's morbid to love death. Nobody in this room should ever say, I don't care if I die or if I don't. Something wrong. I don't want to die. I know I'm going to die, and I'm not trying to run and skirt the issue, but I'm telling you what, I'm not going to sit around and have a death discussion with you about how the greatness of death. Oh, yes. Let's have a cup of tea. There's nothing good about death. Death will one day meet its match. And didn't the Bible tell us that Jesus come to take care of the fellow who's in charge of death? You know, the only cure, and man keeps searching, don't they? They got people out there, and I think they call it the Chirogenic Clinic or somewhere out in Pasadena, California, somewhere out there, where they keep people frozen to absolute zero, or liquid oxygen, or nitrogen. They keep them in liquid nitrogen. Because once they get a cure for whatever they died for, they're going to resurrect them. Just think, if this were possible, just think about it. Just knowing, the other day somebody said that their grandmother, somebody lived to be 101, they were born in 1900. I said, can you imagine what it was like to be born in 1900 and even in 1910 when you would start recognizing what was going on and see the changes that took place? I don't know, that'd be almost enough to die over. Yeah. So imagine if you can, where this world's headed right now, where this world's headed. Imagine dying today, and then 50 years from now, they wake you up. Hey, man, put me back to sleep. When I wake up from that death, I want to wake up on the other side where it is no more, because you realize if they wake you up here, you're going to face death again, and how you know a truck's not going to run over you? Wouldn't that be a terrible thing? Be resurrected, they cure your disease, you walk across the street, smack.
There you are, dead again. You say, well, there ain't much to freeze, so I guess we'll just throw him in a box. I'm telling you, folks, man tries to give us hope, but there is no hope on this side, outside of the man who said, I am the way. So what's death? Well, death is simply a Christian going to sleep and waking up on the other side. That's simply what it is. It's a departure from this life in the, so you realize, well, you can imagine what it'd be like. I don't care where you drive, you're going to pass a cemetery. Now, you get out west, you might drive a long ways before you pass one, but you'll eventually pass one. You'll come to a town, and there'll be one on your right or one on your left, and sometimes I've seen it where there's one on the right and on the left. Why? People die. They bury them. As my dad used to say, the reason they put a fence around those cemeteries is because people are dying to get in. Whew. Don't lose your day job. One day, the Lord's going to come back. Well, turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. I was going to bypass it, but I think, not that you don't believe it, I just want you to see it. Look at verse 52, chapter 15. Oh, yeah. Amen. I'm sorry, verse 26. We'll get the other verse in a minute here. Verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Yeah. That is an enemy. I'm telling you, he steals from you. And he comes when you're not expecting it because he's a thief. Yeah. But look over here in verse 54. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. Right. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Couldn't hold me, could you?
Yeah.
I'll push 6 foot of sod out of my way on the way up. Amen. Get out of my way.
Amen.
You can't hold me.
Right.
They put a big old stone in front of Jesus' tomb, and when they went to the tomb, it was moved.
Yeah.
He didn't go through it. He didn't go around it. He moved it.
Oh, amen.
And one of these days, we're going to leave this life as a saint, and we're going to go to the other side. If you think about this, you'll never pass the cemetery in heaven.
Amen.
You will never pass a mortuary. There will be nothing in heaven connected to death, except unless he remains marked the rest of eternity, that you look at Jesus Christ and see the nail prints in his hands and in his feet and in his side to know he died for you. If there's any remembrance, that would be the only one you would get. Then I want you to see this. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Let's look at verse 25. I'll get the right chapter here. Speaking of Moses, says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Can I say this for a lost man? Death ends all the pleasure he'll ever enjoy. You say, preacher, I never tell people that kind of, well, you ought to. I tell people, yeah, there's a lot of fun out there in the world. My Bible tells me it's pleasures. There's a lot of them out there. But they're just for now. The Bible says for a season. For a season. Hey, some of you up here elderly, you don't enjoy as much as you used to. Even if it's good, you don't enjoy it. I mean, imagine somebody saying to Mrs. Leaf, hey, Mrs. Leaf, you want to go down the Sauber River on a tube? Imagine in the middle of the winter, Mrs. Leaf, somebody comes to you and says, Mrs. Leaf, would you like to go skiing with us up on Mount Tom up here? Mrs. Lee said, well, I used to ski, but I don't ski no more. Why? Because when I fall down, I don't get up easy. As a matter of fact, Mrs. Leaf has told me, because I've said it to her as well, we fall, but in the process of falling, we're thinking, how are we going to get up? When we kneel down, we'd be sure our hand is on an object. Because we can't just do what Courtney can do. Or my grandson the other day, you know, down here hopping around. I thought to myself, my sakes, man, two hops and I am over at the chiropractor and he's trying to straighten my legs out. There ain't no pleasure. I used to have pleasure in a lot of things, you know, that I used to do, but now they're an effort. But this world full of pleasure. I look at 2 Thessalonians and here's what the Lord's going to do. And you know, if you listen to it any at all, and it's getting pretty sickening if you want to know the truth. If you listen to anything on TV, it's getting pretty sickening. I mean, all they're talking about, every program they name anymore, it's got some sexual innuendo on it. And it's just terrible. And it's all funny. They're laughing at it. I mean, Amos and Andy, yeah, that too. Andy Mulberry, Mayberry, you know, Andy Griffith Show, at least it was funny, I mean, the worst you got there, Ernest T. She called me. I mean, you can laugh at it. You can't laugh anymore because now it's got some connotation to it that you don't even want to hear. But they thought that's fun. That's pleasure. But look over here in 2 Thessalonians 2. Look at verse 12. He said that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but what? Had what? Pleasure in what? See that? God said, someday I'm going to fix it, but they better enjoy the pleasure now because one of these days, it isn't going to be any. But I want you just, you don't have to turn here, but I'm going to turn to Psalms a minute, the book of Psalms 16. I want to read you a verse because I want to show you, you know, I've heard people say to me, well, what do you guys do for fun? I said, we sit around and watch the grass grow, man. And then we sell it. No. They act like if you're a Christian, you can't enjoy anything. If you're a Christian, I bet you guys probably drink just water.
Yeah, so we put a little soda in it.
16, look at verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. You've never had joy till you get to heaven. At thy right hand there are what? How long? How long you get them on this earth? Well, Mrs. Leaf, if you and I can really total it up, maybe we got 35, 40 years. And the rest of it's been a lot of pain. Get to heaven, Brother Steve. I mean, evermore. Pleasure. Ever clean pleasure. Fun pleasure. I mean, whatever God's got for us, it's forever. But for a lost man, if you're a lost man, let me tell you what to do today. Have your fun now. Because when you get to hell, there is no fun. Death will end all the pleasure for a lost man. He will have no more pleasure. There'll be no more family relationship. There'll be no more sitting down enjoying the day. There'll be no more fishing. There'll be no more anything that God's going to give us to do. It's done. Charles Swindoll said the world system is committed to at least four major objectives. He said, I'll summarize them in four words for you. Fortune, fame, power, pleasure. First and foremost is fortune, money. The world system is driven by money. It feeds on materialism. Secondly, fame. That's another word for popularity. Fame is longing to be known, to be somebody. In somebody else's eyes, you want to be someone. Thirdly, power. That is having influence, maintaining control over individuals or groups or companies or whatever it may be. And then he said, last. Fourth is pleasure. At this basic level, pleasure has to do with fulfilling one's sensual desires. In other words, he said, it's the slogan you often hear. If it feels good, do it. That's the world you live in. But let me just give you this, and this is it right here. There's a lot of things a man's going to be missing when he dies without Christ. But I just give these two. Pleasure. And the most important, the opportunity to be saved. The Bible says that this rich man in hell, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Now here's the part you need to listen to. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. What is he saying? there are no more opportunities for you. You had all of those on that side. Now all the opportunity. Listen, listen. Now all the opportunities belong to Lazarus. You see, you say, well, I just don't get too many things. Just bide your time here. I seems like I'm always just bide your time. But you're just a pilgrim and a stranger passing through. This is not your permanent hookup here. Unhook your trailer. It ain't permanent. In this lost world, they're going to go to hell and everything they ever wanted is going to be gone. And the most important thing they're going to want at that point in time is just to know that they could have hope. They'll never have it. Joy. They'll never have it. Nothing that you ever have, they'll never have. Their opportunity to be saved will be gone. And my friend, if you leave this building today and you're not saved, it could be your last opportunity to be saved. Because if you die today, you're going to wind up in hell and there'll be no opportunity. Whatever it is you want, you will not get. Father, sometimes as saints, we get our eyes in the wrong direction. That's easy to do because the world offers us so much. And help us today to realize that this life is a life. It's just it's what it is, Lord. It's a sinful, cursed world, and we're just biding our time and going through it. And nothing in this world is favorable to us. They don't like us. They don't want us. So help us to help our get our clutchy hands off of the things we don't need. And then, Lord, if there be a lost person here today, may they realize that without Jesus Christ, they have no hope of ever enjoying anything. Lord, the pain and sorrow that we will let go of when we leave here will be theirs forever and ever and ever. Might they realize that the only opportunity they had to be saved is today. You said today is the day. With our heads bowed, and nobody looking around as the organ begins to play.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listened by writing to the Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.